broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no, good evening once again, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an on or two, and of course those on the road folks. We give a big shout out and a salute to our Space Force Rangers, those who keep us safe at night. We welcome you back to Holistic Truth here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's episode, we got a new thing going on Thursdays. Evidently, we've got a new thing going on Thursdays. That's addendumly speaking. We're going to take care of all of the things that seem to be coming to a head throughout the weeks of the news and put on some little addendums for some things that we didn't get a chance to get to. We're going to try it. We're going to see how it goes. We can do this. Why not? It is Wednesday, March 21st, 2024, and we broadcast live from the high mountain desert and continue to hold a space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity with patriots worldwide and as this great awakening continues across the face of the earth. Our goal today continues to be, as it is every day, to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. For those of you joining us here for the first time, we're going to go ahead and define this term, holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human experience through empathy, compassion, leading us ultimately to forgiveness. Now, guys, when we talk about this, we have to understand that we are all in the same boat. We've all been lied to. We're all trying to figure out the truth. We're all trying to sort out fact from fiction and marketing madness from things in fact. That's what we're trying to do on tonight's episode. There's some things that are coming up in the news and in legislation, and I felt the need to compare and contrast some things this evening, so we're going to do that as we talk about it all, folks, about the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and secular, historical, hysterical, and the politically mundane. And we'll be blowing up all them little non sequiturs. We'll get them blowed up good, because we have some non sequiturs to address. Some things look like the others, but they're not. And we're going to go ahead and draw out some differences in that. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. We're not part of the legacy media. Please do not take me at my word. Check everything that I say. Do a little fact check. The fact checkers hate me because I do get it right. And they, you know, kind of don't have much to say after we finish laying it out. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast, to the podcast, question everything, not part of the legacy media. I am not here to convince you. I am here to shed some light. So take on only what is yours. Not everything's for everyone. Eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Keep close what's truth and heals, and discard what offends your spirit. Research what you hear so that you know your own experience. It remains a very exciting time to be alive. All kinds of headlines going on the world stage. Some of them exciting, some of them not so exciting. Some of them make you want to stop and go, And we're going to do that just a little bit, taking a look at the border problem. We have, you know, it looks like an invasion to me through El Paso. It's not very far away from my location. Just thought I'd let you know that it's hitting kind of close to home in the area there in El Paso kind of stuff, and they just ran right over all those official looking people in uniform and went to the gate and started banging on it like they know how to do. Understand, there's a cultural thing in Africa, North Africa, Middle Africa, and all of the places where democracy hasn't been able to settle in and settle down, where people haven't come to a place where they've had leaders that they could trust for an extended period of time. And so they have, as a matter of course, people in other countries and in these failing nations, and it's exactly what they are for whatever reason. We'll talk about that. And they have their own ways of doing things, and they haven't met a wall yet that they didn't think that they could take down. They'll take down a glass building by shaking it back and forth and back and forth. We've seen that in the historical records. So the fact that they went over all of our guards, all of our armed folks, those who were trying to keep order, and they just went right over them and up to the thing, demanded to be let in. I think kind of shows us who they are. We saw a little bit there. It was shown. We saw it. What's anybody going to do about it? Texas is trying to take action. They got judicial review. They're judicially reviewing a constitutional law. It's insane. I do want at the top, you know, we're talking about, what we're going to talk about tonight is more about those actual bloodbaths. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the marketing matters, the fact that marketing matters, and the marketing matters. We're going to talk about being regulated into a corner and apples and oranges. When we get to that, we're going to talk about some tech stuff. We're going to be talking about tech stuff probably throughout, because marketing matters. And we don't always know what it is that we're being sold. Case in point, we've got this whole TikTok issue, and it's trying to bleed over into some other issues, and we think we're going to stop that. But first of all, I want to say, you know, some of the marketing things, marketing does matter. There's a whole trillion-dollar industry out there that's designed to do nothing more than make you believe something so that you will buy something so that others will gain something. It's marketing. And I learned a lot about marketing in one of my jobs. I was marketing, merchandising, did all that for a little while. And in the fourth quarter, we have a campaign called guerrilla marketing. And that's just where you know, guerrilla merchandising and guerrilla marketing. And that's where you say anything and you do anything and you put your product anywhere that you can during the fourth quarter when everybody's spending all their Christmas money to get those sales up. It's a technique. Do the people need what it is that I was putting in front of their face? Probably not. But they bought it because I realized that the longer I was able to keep somebody in the store, the more chances there were that they were going to spend money on the product that I was merchandising. So Walmart has a great big store for a reason. It's to keep you there for a very long time and to get your money $1 at a time, $1 at a time. These chains they're not mattering in the long run. They just, as long as you can spend $1, they're successful. And it's a bucket campaign. It's part of marketing, part of merchandising, part of all of that. And we see advertisements on the TV all the time. You know, they say the sponsors pay the bills, but what they're selling may not be good for us. It looks good, may not be good for us. And then just to make sure, you know, that we buy a certain product or it goes a certain way, then there's regulation. And then we have to weigh out the apples and the oranges. Before we get into the bullets, let's take a look at the market. I just want to take a couple of bullets of what I've taken off the news, listening to the headlines and doing all the rest. You know, there's a constant claim. This is a marketing issue. This is marketing. There's a claim. The Joe Biden regime and the people who back them and those that want to continuously lie to you about the state of the economy, they keep saying that the Biden regime created a bunch of jobs, that they created more jobs in history, yada, 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 market, market, market. That's a commercial advertisement, and it's not necessarily the truth, because I want us to remember what happened to the economy. They shut it down. Jobs didn't go away, but workers weren't allowed to work. Workers weren't allowed to work. The jobs never went anywhere, but they all had to get unemployment because they weren't allowed to go to work. They had to get subsidies and had to get this and all of that. So you can't say that the workforce returning to work is a creation of jobs. And if there was any new creation of jobs, I guarantee you that they're lower level, underpaid, or government jobs, because those are the ones that they can create where we don't actually have wealth. And Lord forbid that we actually accumulate any degree of wealth for ourselves, because we have a debt to pay, a national debt. And we were talking last night, I forgot to bring it up on Holistic Truth, about this immigration stuff going on, you know, and it was when we had the interlocutory episode. I'm getting better at saying that too. And when we had that episode, I forgot to bring it up as well. And that is the fact that, you know, not only has the Biden regime worked its legislative fingers around constitutional law and around the safety features that are built in to protect we the people from invasion. But 200,000 court case files had to be dismissed because they got lost or set aside or they missed the deadline and now it's null and void, and all these supposed, in quotes, parolees, which are nothing more than illegal entrants, people who are illegally entering the country, and those who are able to execute the law are choosing not to. And not only that, but hampering the efforts of those who are choosing to uphold the law and protect we the people, namely the state of Texas and the 13 other states that have pledged their support for the protection of the southern border. So that's what I have to say about that. Is it's getting to be clustered, and there's going to have to be a change and a breakthrough. It's reaching ahead. It's kind of like that zit, right? It's finally going to have to pop. It's going to have to pop pretty soon. Yeah, I hope it's not bad. But what I wanted to talk to mainly today is some of the things that are going on market-wise, and the tech industries and networking and computer stuff. That's what I want to talk about. You know, we have the legislation that offers TikTok the opportunity to divest itself from the CCP because, you know, we have a constitutional right to be protected from illegal search and seizure of our persons, effects, and papers and data and all of those things that we can lump into that. They don't have a right to come in and get it. And we want to stop the government from being able to do it, but we're opening the door and letting TikTok. Because TikTok has been able to market itself, it has been marketed and it has been used to become a part of our daily life. But all that glitters is not gold. We have to remember that. Back in the 1990s, there was this new product out. It was called Cool Tools, and it was tools to be used for children to, you know, so basically Junior can build right alongside Daddy, or Juniorette can build right alongside Mommy, whichever the case may be. And, you know, the question came up, oh, that looks really good. I want to have it. Well, I did some due diligence, and I asked some other mothers that had the same product, and they said, no, that breaks. They break. They're not worth anything. They don't stand up, and then they're flimsy. And so that became a teaching opportunity for my child to learn that not all that glitters is gold, and not everything that they're selling on the TV is worth the money that they're charging. We have to remember that marketing matters. And marketing is down to such a science that they've got MK Ultra in it. They say it over and over again. And they use persuasive speech, all kinds of persuasive speech. One of the biggest forms of persuasive speech that they use is the bandwagon approach. Everyone else is doing it. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only. They go overboard on the FOMO thing. And then we internalize that. And next thing you know, we're fighting over things that we don't need and hurting people that we didn't intend and saying things that we shouldn't simply because, you know, the marketing was good. Or the spell that was cast on was good. And I bring into remembrance the Cabbage Patch craze. And then we had the other great big spell that was cast would be on the Beanie Babies. Everybody had a Beanie Baby or they were going to die. And another spell that was cast over one of the products was with Pokemon. Everybody was having a Pokemon craze. And not only that, but one of the greatest diversions and the biggest spells that were cast that I saw was back in 2016-ish, maybe 17-ish, with this Pokemon craze and everybody chasing around some non-existent digital holographic pretend form of a Pokemon. And they left their jobs and they'd left their homes and they did all of this stuff because they were chasing what was glittering, but there wasn't any gold. And it was disruptive, and there's spells cast, and there's marketing going in, and it gets into your head, and next thing you know, you got a house full of stuff that you don't need. It's half broken, but you don't want to throw it away because you got money invested in it. And this is what a lot of American households, it's not the hoarding level yet, but it is the behavior pattern that a lot of people have fallen into because marketing matters. You want to get that too. You don't want to be left out. But marketing can also sell us something that's not good for us. Marketing tells us that we need something, that we have to have something, that this will solve a problem that you never knew you had, craze, and then you're odd man out if you don't buy into it, because marketing matters. It looks good, but doesn't work well. It makes you look good, but does it meet your need? Everyone else has one, but do they really need it? So we have to be cautious when we're watching advertisements, especially the pharmaceuticals. Just watching those ads make me sick. Marketing matters, and marketing is in our head. We have, whether we know it or not, as a nation, we have a social order. We have a social way. We have a community, a way of doing things. You know, we want people to come in. We want them to what? We want them to acclimate to us. We want them to integrate with us and all of that. But what marketing does is changes our behavior and gets us to do something that we otherwise wouldn't do, or buy something that we otherwise wouldn't buy, or pay attention to something that we otherwise wouldn't pay attention to. And it doesn't just work with goods and services. It also works with ideas. It also works with narratives, political narratives. It also works with character building or character assassination. Marketing matters. It does. Whether we want to say, oh, it doesn't matter what they say about it. No, it does matter. They got your attention enough to check into it. So marketing matters. And if it didn't matter, it wouldn't be a trillions of dollars of industry money that's going into it to make sure that we buy those things that they put in front of us. So marketing in itself can create its own little bloodbath of chaos and confusion, because when the one with the good marketing ends up having the good sales. But it's not always the best product. It's not. What's being marketed the best isn't necessarily the best product. And then we have another little thing coming in to add to our confusion, and that is regulation, a bloodbath of regulation. Regulating our behavior and our choices into a corner, case in point. You know, folks like to make fun of Donald J. Trump, President Trump, when he's talking about light bulbs and he's talking about showers and the toilets and the water flow and all of that. But understand that the government has no business regulating the amount of water that comes out of my tap. The government has no business regulating the type of light bulbs that I put on, but they're regulating what we can do, by what we can have, by regulating and pushing and marketing a market of an idea of something that might be not be good for us, case in point. For a very long time, we've lived with incandescent light bulbs, you know, the little yellow glowy things, give a nice evening light to the things in your home, and very soft lighting and warm and cozy and yummy stuff. But there came a point during the Kenyan administration when they were doing away with incandescent light bulbs, and they didn't ask we the people what we thought about it. And because they were cheaper, and because they seemed to save energy, and they weren't cheaper, but they seemed to last longer and save energy overall, and yada yada, all of those things. We the people didn't say very much about it because we didn't see what was coming. I want to tell you that when they start regulating us into a corner and telling us what we can and cannot have, gas stoves versus electric stoves, gas cars versus electric cars, the government's already overstepped its boundaries, because it's decided that it's going to put its nose in the market and drive a product forward regardless of what product we the people want. Now, they're saying that with these approved options, well, you can have fluorescents. No, the fluorescents are poison. Well, okay, then let's go to the LEDs. And everybody thought that was a really good idea, and I thought that was a really good idea until I did some more researching, and I want you to understand that this is the directed orchestra. It was a directed orchestra to get us from incandescence, which is, dare I say, an analog source of light and radiant heat, to the LEDs, which is a digital form of light and very little heat. And they directed the orchestra and limited our options in such a way that we didn't even notice it. And really, for the most part, it looked like they were kind of looking out for us. But they had approved options so that they could direct this orchestra for a predicted outcome. And what we didn't see coming, and what I've talked about a little bit on the broadcast, but what we might not have seen coming was the predicted outcome that they wanted. The reason to push the Li-Fi, the reason to push the LEDs is because of the protocol, communication protocol from digital communication of Li-Fi, light, Wi-Fi only with light, which means that those who would snoop and intrude could otherwise snoop and intrude through your electrical grid and through, believe it or not, through your LED light bulbs and actually affect your mood by slight micro changes in the frequency. And they could even, once they get the data on Li-Fi, they could download and upload data right to your computer through your LED lights. Li-Fi, L-I-F-I, it's searchable, it's researchable. You can get to the bottom of that. You'll also find some interesting information about the artificial sun, but there I digress. So in all of this, in these first two bullets, what I want to point out, because we're going to spend the next 30 minutes talking about apples and oranges, protocols and Ericssons, but what I wanted to point out is that with the sufficient amount of marketing and a low level of education and not being taught how to have foresight and think things through to the next step, but being bum-rushed through all of these decisions that were being made for us by regulatory commissions and our legislature that was definitely helping out all of these other merchants for the product that they wanted to sell in a directed orchestra for a predicted outcome of being able to completely invade us and our computers and our data with unreasonable searches and seizures. We never saw it coming. Most people still are not aware of Li-Fi technology, LED communications. It's something that's out there, something we need to know about and decide whether or not we want to go in that direction. So if they decide that they want to make a different type of washer, somebody has a great idea and their buddies in the legislature and they start pushing it, next thing you know, we've got an artificial market. It's being pushed by the demands of the legislature because of their buddies that are in industry. And we, the people, do not have adequate choices, but we have approved options to be directed in the manner that they want us to be directed for the predicted outcome that they have. Remember last night we talked about having the caboose, knowing where the caboose was going to land before the train left the station. And this is one of them things. The caboose was going to land with the predicted outcome of snooping through Li-Fi and affecting our persons in biological warfare with Li-Fi, with lighting. And it's a trick. They can do it. And we wouldn't even have seen it coming until it was already implemented. And then how are we going to go back to incandescent light bulbs? Why would they want to regulate how much water we can use? Well, let me put it this way. There was some time ago, and I've mentioned this on the program before, it wasn't very long ago, that the city utilities were run by the city, including water treatment and including all of the rest of the stuff. The cities were in charge, or at least the counties were in charge of the municipal stuff. And then there went through a whole corporatocracy of things, where everything became privatized, whether it was water treatment or whether it was our electric utilities. Well, that was basically been privatized for a while. But these things that the city should be taking care of was then farmed out to these private corporations. Well, the private corporations don't care about the safety and sanity of our water so much as they care about the bottom line and giving a return on investment to their investors and to their boards. The same thing that happened with prisons, when they went to privately owned prisons, everybody got to make a buck, and the prisons got really, really full, really, really fast. And it didn't take much for you to get farmed out to a prison because someone was going to make a buck off of you from the time that you were arrested till the time that you were released, and then on parole as well. So people are making money off of it. And then they stopped with the privatization of prisons, and what happened? Now all the cities are overburdened. because they've overpopulated their prisons because it's been a free-for-all of money-making and putting everybody in prison. And then they released everybody willy-nilly, not caring who was on the street and who was going to hurt who. Why? Because they needed to save money. It had nothing to do with the protection of the people. Because marketing matters. And we thought it was a good idea. And then they regulated us into a corner for their predicted outcome of making money off of every law that was broken. Every time somebody broke a law, they were like, oh, well, I'll be making money off of that. He'll be seeing me soon. And it became a retail outlet, a whole mishmash of money-making at the expense of humanity. Because marketing mattered, and we didn't care much about it. They're just prisoners anyway. And so while we weren't watching the prison system, it became a monster. And a lot of abuse happened, a lot of kickbacks, a lot of hand-washing, a lot of back-scratching. And then the game ended, and you can't have private prisons anymore, and now... what are those who are really supposed to be responsible going to do? Because they spent all the money everywhere else. Marketing matters. Being regulated into a corner is not something that we're used to looking out for, but thanks to President Donald J. Trump, he let us know what to look out for. And he's also letting us know that there's, you know, he's on Agenda 47. I went to that page today, and the latest posting is the war on the cartels. This is exactly the war that we need to have. Now, the cartels, they're loaded for bear. And this is my question, and this is a question indeed, okay? I really am questioning this, and I'm going to be doing some more research because I want answers. I'm not just asking the questions to fill the air. But why is Mexico such a mess? With all the resources and all the people that they've got, and they're smart people with good industry, why are they in a mess being run by cartels? And why are those cartels trying to come across the border? And why do they think that they can? Why do they think that we won't stop them? Why do they think that they can get away with it? Because we've been given only approved options, not the whole picture, because they've been creating a whole directed orchestra for predicted outcome of removing our borders and invading the U.S. and having our nation no longer be the land of the free because of the brave. It's a complete orchestra of demoralization and daring the American people to stand up for themselves. And that's kind of where we're at. Now, I'm not going to go into a musical break. I am going to go ahead and play this soundbite. It's about just shy of 5 minutes from President Trump's Agenda 47 on the war on cartels. And he says it much better, sums it up better than I ever could. So we're going to go ahead and play that, consider it a break. We may have a little bit of music just for fun, I don't know. But when we come back, we'll spend the rest of the 30 minutes on the final bullet, which is apples and oranges. And we're only going to talk a little bit about the New York steel estate, because that's what it's turning into. With AG gone wild, everybody is subject to seizure now. If she gets away with this, everybody's subject to seizures. I don't think that it's going to go. I mean, there's every standing not to, but we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've got this addendumly speaking episode on this Thursday evening, March 21st, 2024. And we're talking about apples and oranges when we come back. It's going to surprise you, perhaps, some of the things that I have to say on a stance. But I think I'll be able to make the point. Because it kind of puts the capper on all the two previous points to find out where we're at and what we might be able to do about it. And if we want to stay in this precarious techno position that we find ourselves in. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Here's President Trump. Agenda 47 is war on the cartels. We'll be back.
Fentanyl, heroin, meth, and other lethal drugs are pouring across our wide open border, stealing hundreds of thousands of beautiful American lives, and it's happening like never before in our history. Children are being left without parents. Families are being ripped apart. Communities are being decimated. Our neighbors and fellow citizens are having their entire worlds destroyed. Destroyed like nobody thought possible. Our country is being poisoned from within by the drugs and by all of the other crime that's taking place. The drug cartels are waging war on America. and it's now time for America to wage war on the cartels. In this war, Joe Biden has sided against the United States and with the cartels. They are making more money than they've ever made before, times 10. There's never been anything like it. They're major, major companies. They're bigger than even some of our biggest companies. Biden's open border policies are a deadly betrayal of our nation. When I am president, it will be the policy of the United States to take down the cartels, just as we took down ISIS and the ISIS caliphate, and just as, unlike the situation we're in today, we had a very, very strong border, the strongest border, in fact, in the history of our country, and drugs were at a low of 45 years. There's been nothing like what we did just 2 years ago. We will show no mercy on the cartels. Every day, drug traffickers are using the waters of our region to ship their lethal poisons to America, killing so many of our people and ruining families. In addition to restoring strong border security, I will deploy all necessary military assets, including the U.S. Navy, to impose the full naval embargo on the cartels. I did that before, and it worked. What we did was incredible. We will guarantee that the waters of the Western Hemisphere are not used to traffic illicit drugs to our country. Furthermore, I will order the Department of Defense to make appropriate use of special forces, cyber warfare, and other overt and covert actions to inflict maximum damage on cartel leadership, infrastructure, and operations. I will designate the major cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. We will sever their access to global financial systems. I will also work to forge an unprecedented partnership with neighboring governments in our region, just like I did in Mexico. And remember, in Mexico alone, an estimated 100,000 civilians have been tragically murdered or gone missing at the hands of these cartels. The Mexican government, run by a very fine man, the president, is really working hard, but it's not working out. These cartels are vicious and they're violent, and they have Mexico for now stymied. Well, we have to help Mexico, and we have to stymie the cartels. Either we will get the full cooperation of other governments to stop this menace, or we will expose every bribe, every kickback, every payoff, and every bit of corruption that is allowing the cartels to preserve their brutal reign, and it is indeed brutal. Finally, as I have said before, I will ask Congress to pass legislation ensuring that drug smugglers and human traffickers receive the death penalty. The drug cartels and their allies in the Biden administration have the blood of countless millions on their hands. Millions and millions of families and people are being destroyed. When I'm back in the White House, the drug kingpins and vicious traffickers will never sleep soundly again. We did it once, and we did it better than anybody else. There's never been a better border than we had just 2 years ago. It was strong, it was powerful, and it was respected all over the world. And now we're laughed at all over the world. And we're not going to let that happen much longer. We have to take over. We have to be tough. We have to be smart. We have to be fair. But if we don't do something immediately, our country is gone.
Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. You know he's right. Welcome back here to the Addendumly Speaking episode here on Holistic Truth on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Leander Grace. We've been talking about more about them bloodbaths, the marketing that matters, and the regulating indoor corner. And we're going to take a little trip down memory lane, and I want to reveal some things to you of where we find ourselves now and where we could be if we had made some different choices. Yeah, it's going to be one of those things. And we're going to bring up these apples and oranges. You know, we're coming onto TikTok and saying you need to divest because it's unsecure and it's a one-way trip to CCP with all of our our personal information and data effects, as it were. But folks are also now starting up against Apple. They're coming down on Apple iPhones, and it looks as though they're trying to rustle up an antitrust suit against Apple. There's a problem with that, because in this antitrust suit, everybody's remembering the first thing I thought about was the antitrust suit waged against Microsoft with Microsoft Windows, but it wasn't against Windows. It was about their Internet Explorer and the fact that the Internet Explorer wouldn't play nice with others, and that the Internet Explorer came packaged together with Windows 95. Now, I started in computers back in the DOS days, and with Windows 3.1 and 3.1.1, for those of you who know, I think it was a smaller product, a smaller package. It was a better product, a smoother product than the Windows 95 that came out. And one of the main differences between Windows 3.1.1 and Windows 95 was it was internet ready. Windows 95 came ready to go with the next stage of internet stuff. And they came out with a protocol where one computer can talk to another computer through TCP/IP protocols. That is the nomenclature used for the transport chain protocol, IP internet protocol. And it's that protocol, those rules of talking, that allows one computer to talk to another. And when I teach the, actually I've taught this class before, and when I teach the class, I like it undo someone who speaks Spanish and someone who speaks English. There needs to be a translator in between if you don't know each other's languages. And so the protocols, the TCP/IP protocol, acts like a language interpreter in between the computers so that the information goes where it needs to go, and there's several layers of protocols that it goes through. Okay, so those are protocols. That's just TCP/IP. Now, here's the issue, and we're going to go all the way back to the number one bullet of marketing matters and regulating this into a corner, and why the apples and oranges is apples and oranges when we're talking about Microsoft and Apple. Because also during that time, I was working in computer retail, just getting my feet in the door, just getting thirsty for more tech junk, right? More techy, geeky stuff. And in one of the sales pitches, I'll tell you right, in one of the sales pitches, you know, people would come in, and these were all Intel-based, Intel-based computers. And by that, I mean the industry standard not being Mac. That's what I'm saying. And so they would come in and they said, well, do you guys sell Macs? And the sales line that I had, the sales pitch that I used was, well, Mac is a better computer, but I don't think anybody's working on them except in a small island in the south of France. And so in marketing, I was able to push that person's idea of a Mac computer out of their mind and have them focus on the Intel-based computers, or AMD would pick one. It's the industry standard, whether AMD, Micron, or Intel is making it. There's an industry standard of chips. Well, Mac doesn't use those same industry standards. Mac uses a completely different platform. Mac uses a better platform than the Intel platform. It's a better product. The Mac computer is a better product than what we call Windows PCs. And we call them Windows PCs because marketing matters. So the Mac computer is a better computer. The Mac iPhone, the Apple iPhone, is a better phone. Mac, the iPhone, the Apple iPhone, they make their own chips, and they have their own pipes, and they have their own protocols. And their pipes and the protocols are secure. Now, if we switch over and we start talking about marketing matters and not all the glitters is gold and everyone else is doing it and the one who has the best marketing wins, let's go back to Windows and take a look. The antitrust lawsuit that Microsoft lost was over Internet Explorer, but they still package it with you can't get it out of the software. There's no choice with Windows. You have to have Internet Explorer when you install it. You can't get rid of it. It's built into it. So what was the point? And Windows uses, the Intel-based software uses TCP/IP as their protocol. And I want to tell you there's another protocol that's better, and that internet protocol is IPX. It's very small. There's no noise, hardly any noise, and it's fast. and it's secure. P is large and it's noisy and it is full of security holes. Just as a matter of fact of being a protocol, the way it's built is built to be leaky. The protocol TCP/IP is where we need to focus, not on whether it's Apple or whether it's on this, but the security of it. And although it looks as though there's an antitrust case against Apple and against Mac, it's going to be a bunch of noise and a bunch of wasted time and a bunch of wasted money because it's apples and oranges. They have a completely different product. And I say hats off to Apple to not changing their standards to fit in with everybody else and lessening their protocols and lessening their security and lessening their pipes and making way for noisy protocols and unsecure things to be put into their system because they don't want to have it. It's a secure system. Is it proprietary? Yeah, and they're allowed to be proprietary. And I know that I've heard reports that when you're sending something from an Apple iPhone to another phone, it gets grainy, it gets this, it's loss of this, loss of that, whether that can be corrected or not without losing the proprietary edge, and they get to have a proprietary edge. Apple has always had a proprietary edge. They've always thought about the product rather than the marketing. Apple and Mac are a better product. Now, I'm not getting paid anything, and it doesn't make me sweat to say the truth. I don't have one piece of equipment that is made by Mac or Apple. I do know that it's a better product, but I don't own those things. So I've just been in transparency. I'm not trying to sell Apple or sell Mac products. What I am trying to do is educate my listeners to understand that they have a better product. Whether you like them or not, they're a better product. They have better protocols. They have better security. And they're more secure from the interference of Ericsson's communications. That would be Ericsson's communications. They can't bleep it out three times. Ericsson's communications that's interfering with everything that we do behind the scenes. They are in behind the scenes. They are in the pipes. And they get to be in the pipes because of TCP/IP and UDP and all of the things that shout all of the noise over the internet because we're using a heavy, bulky, fat, leaky, loud, interfering protocol called TCP/IP. The Novell platform is very small. It uses the IP expand out and accommodate for all the other protocols, including Mac, but we don't use that. Why? Because marketing matters and everybody owns Windows. That's where we're at. So all of the arguments that we're having over tech stuff, they matter. The arguments matter. We need to have the conversations, but we also need to understand that marketing has mattered for a long time. All the glitters has not been gold, and we've got a great big tech industry based on TCP/IP, which is heavy, which is bulky, which is loud, which is noisy, and which is absolutely unsecure. That's the truth of it. And so I would say that this antitrust attack that's going against Apple is to try to make them become inferior rather than for us to raise our standards to a better product. I don't think Apple would have any problems with sharing some of their things so that we can get up to snuff, but understand that what we're dealing with Microsoft products and with TCP/IP is inferior to Macintosh, and it's inferior to Apple iPhone, and the protocols are just nasty to deal with, and that's why we have something that went from 13-megabyte programs to 1.3 gigabytes just to install it. Because there's noise, because there's snooping, because there's bulk that it doesn't need. It's not at all streamlined. And there's more holes in the Windows products than there is in any of the others, including Unix. You can lock a Unix computer up right now, and nobody's getting in it, especially with the proper protocols. But if you have a Windows PC with the standard installation, everybody and their brother is going to be able to look at it. Because there's backdoors with every layer of protocol that's added. There's usually about 7 layers of communication. And now we got another AI layer that we have to watch out for. This is where we're at in our tech industry. We have been marketed into buying Microsoft products as an industry standard. We understand this now in America. Microsoft is an industry standard. Do we need it to stay that way? It's not about Microsoft. It's about the product. It's not about the company. It's about the product. Do they have the best product? And if they do have the best product, how am I, as an end user, going to go in and make the minute detailed changes that I might need to make to have my computer behave the way I want it to behave rather than the way that Microsoft wants it to behave? As it is now, the software that I'm using to do most of my editing and my writing and all those things is back from 2007. I own the software. I don't use the Microsoft 365 where everybody and their brother has access to my stuff. That's unreasonable search and seizure. Why am I putting it? Why would I put it out there? This is what we're up against. So they talked us out of incandescent light bulbs. They didn't even talk. They just switched it. Same way with the Microsoft platform. Once the government gave in to the Microsoft platform, security is sketchy at best. And all of the security folks, the Intel people, they know it. I'm talking about people on the Intel committee and people with high security clearances and stuff like that. They know the dangers of some of the software that we have around. And we also know that Ericsson is a corporation that's got its hands in every pie of communication, has no problem switching the switches so that if I have a 911 call like in Uvalde, when everyone was calling 911 and the 911 centers wasn't getting the call, they were being routed to something that Ericsson's had set up. Ericsson's, we need to look into that. They own the pipes, and if they own the pipes, they can switch the pipes. And if they switch the pipes, we don't know where our data's going. This is the security level breaches that we have. They're built in to what has been marketed to us. And we've been regulated into a corner of unsecure methods of communication. If I'm using my Windows computer and I send an email out, I know somebody else is going to be able to see it. Because even if I do a level of encryption on my Microsoft Windows computer, there's going to be an algorithm that can undo the encryption because it's built into the software. That's why it went from 13 megabytes to 1.3 terabytes or gigabytes for install. It's big, it's bulky, and it's loud, and it's not the best product on the market, Microsoft. It's just not. But it's what we've adapted to because we didn't want to think too hard about what we were getting, and evidently it was okay. I mean, it's just lazy thinking. That's what we are as consumers when marketing matters. We figure it's okay. And we know that Microsoft has released all these things with bugs. And now they push out the updates, and you don't really know what you're getting. Not like in the old days when you got to approve it and you knew what changes were going to be, and if there was a bug, you could go around it. Now it's a great big mess. It's bigger than the average end user can handle, so they don't handle it. They just use it. And we're at the mercies of the lesser protocols that put our data at risk. That's the truth of it. My favorite setup, it's a little overdone. Some people would say it's a little overdone, but my favorite setup would be an IPX protocol over Token Ring with an Apple computer because all of those levels are secure. And as far as Wi-Fi, then you need to have, you know, the signal stagnation with an encryption key. So I see what's going on with TikTok, and I'm really glad we need to divest from the CCP, but understand that let's not get all full of fire and start taking down all the tech companies. And if we are going to take down the tech companies, let's make sure we take down the lesser ones. But why do we want to take down any companies at all? And why is Apple being targeted when it is a superior product? It just is. I don't own one, but it's a superior product. It has its own hardware. It wasn't outsourced for somebody else to put bugs in it, listening things, routing EPROMs, and it's a chip in there that routes your stuff where it wants, when it wants. No foreign switches, no adversarial listening devices. When it first came out, it owned its own pipes. I don't know if he still does. But Macintosh has always been a superior computer. And Apple iPhone has always been a superior product. Now, is it going overboard on a scale? I think it costs way too much. That's why I won't buy it. It's like, shoot, I ain't going to sell my leg just to get a phone. Put one on a wall. But that's just my value. That's what I value. It's my argument to it. Buy what you want, but I am going to let you know the Apple is a superior product. And I don't see any sense in filing an antitrust lawsuit claim against a superior product, requiring it to lower its standards to meet everybody else that has an unsecure system. Just saying. We make our own choices, but understand that we need to have those choices to make. And if you take Apple away and bring them down to the level of sub below the top where they're at, and try to throw shade on them, then we're really going to confuse the consumers. And don't we want to be honest with the consumers, or do we just want to market so that everybody has a piece of the pie? That sounds like communism. Apple iPhone's a superior product. I don't see any reason why they would have to lower themselves to an inferior product and put their security on the line and put their protocols out there to be torn apart by Ericsson's. And so what I'm seeing down the road, if I can get a little bit of prescience going on here, is that the reason to take down Apple is because Ericsson's doesn't own them. Those who are manipulating our information pipelines and that want to redirect our phone calls into oblivion and do those kinds of things, they can't touch Apple. And so they're using these things of phony, of grainy photographs and this and that, and, you know, I can't receive things sent by you, and, you know, I've heard all of these conversations. Well, okay, that's what happens. But Apple remains, and bringing a suit against them is going to do nothing more than slow them down in being able to provide superior products with superior protocols and more secure lines. That's just the way that is. And so what I think is that, you know, we need to have informed choices and not start a bandwagon approach of, well, this tech company pissed us off and this tech company does this and this tech company. I don't know if that's the way we want to do it, if we want to take the best down and leave the rest because marketing matters. These people are invested in this more, and Apple's a thorn in these people's side, so we're going to go ahead and... No, it's a completely different scenario with Apple and Microsoft. It's a completely different scenario of apples and oranges from what that antitrust suit was about, and they're still in the middle of antitrust. They still have a monopoly on everything, Microsoft, but yet they're going to come after Apple. They're going to come after Apple iPhones. Why? Because Ericsson's can't hit their protocols. Ericsson's can't invade their phones as easily as they can the Android phones. It's just the truth. And I'm not trying to talk up a particular thing or talk down a particular item, but you can't say one is better than the other when it's not. You can't say that Apple is the same as an Android phone because it's not the same product. Now, we need to have some industry standards. I mean, there's a lot of standardization that goes around. A cup is a cup, and all the cups that we have for our recipes hold exactly one cup. And then we have standardized screws and standardized nuts and bolts. We have standardized fittings. You know, the whole industrial thing is that if you're making a Colt 45, all the Colt 45 pieces should fit into all the Colt 45s. But you're not going to get a Colt 45 piece to fit into a Smith & Wesson. That's just the way it is. And that's what we need to start thinking in terms of when we're talking about Android phones versus Apple phones. You can't make Apple play well with others just because you want Apple to play well with others. I mean, we're talking Atlas Shrugged here, right? The one with the superior product, you're going to take it down because not everybody can meet that level of meritorious product. Are we going to do that? Are we going to dumb everything down because these guys over here with good marketing can't make that good product? So we have to be aware and be informed about some of the things that are coming in front of us and the similarities and the differences. Microsoft is still, as far as I'm concerned, one great big monopoly. It's hard to get away from that. It's getting easier to get away from the software, but it's, you know, it has a deal. It's what people go to. But what I would like to see perhaps be brought up as far as tech standards and Silicon Valley standards is to decide whether we want to keep the bulky, unsecure TCP/IP protocol or whether we might want to take a look at the IPX protocol that was put out on the Novell platform, if it's still operational. They have really bad marketing. They don't market anything, but they have a better product. Novell did, a better networking product with a better protocol and better security. But Microsoft marketed them out of the market. And the government didn't take a look at it, although it was more secure and although it was smaller and although it was a lot easier to manage for a communications protocol. So as we go through these things in this legislation, we have to understand what it is that we're dealing with exactly, and how one thing is like another thing, and when we're dealing with apples and oranges. So I would hate to see, you know, Apple go through a whole bunch of trouble when at the end of the day they're going to come down to the very same thing, is that we're dealing with apples and oranges. Apple and Mac is not Microsoft. They haven't taken over anything, but they have a superior product that people are gravitating to. And I don't see any reason why we should regulate anybody into a corner to use one over another. We just have to be aware of which is the superior product. And if that is indeed a superior product, as I said, why are they going after it? We got to understand what's good. And just because it's out there as the latest and the greatest and the best and the baddest doesn't mean that it is the latest and the greatest and the best and the baddest. And this is where some degree of truth-telling and marketing is going to have to come back into the advertisement world. We're going to have to be able to start holding people responsible for the lies that they're telling as they advertise a product. Remember all those commercials where you've got that walking, talking Barbie? Barbie never walked and talked, but they displayed it as if it did. There's just a lot of things that we need to take a look at going forward, whether we want to stay in the same spin of stuff or whether we're going to be big people and take a look at things hardcore and really look down at the nitty-gritty of how exposed we are technologically. Because once AI becomes part of the mainstream, that's another thing we're going to have to look out for. And we'll talk about that on another broadcast. I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's been my privilege to bring you the broadcast this evening here with a little ademinely speaking of some of the things that have gone on previously in the week. I hope I laid it out so it's understood. We need to be careful of marketing. We need to be careful of the regulating. And we need to be able to weigh out the difference between the apples and the oranges, because everyone's listening. But who is it that has control of the pipes? I am your host, Leanna Grace. I'm reminding you too, as always, to watch for the signposts, connect these dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And until next time, good night.